Hello and welcome to the third part of OnCoalesce number 7. Thanks for streaming or downloading, if you managed to download the file from my website. If you haven't, you need to do some double-clicking on your computer or on your phone, press the audio file for a while until you get the option to download. I am still mastering the world of podcasts, editing suites, and indeed splicing waveforms. Who knew? So this edition is about Avmaquin, Nutramax's broccoli nutraceutical. Okay, let's get started with a summary. Avmaquin is an easy-to-administer, chewable tablet that creates sulforaphane inside of the dog's body. Sulforaphane affects multiple cellular pathways and can help support cells against damage caused by oxidative stress. So firstly, a recent relevant study in humans. Sulforaphane is an isothiocyanate found in cruciferous vegetables. Since its identification as a phase 2 enzyme inducer 30 years ago, it's been extensively studied to understand potential mechanisms of action. In a recent study published in the BMC, researchers found that sulforaphane enhances the antitumor response of chimeric antigen receptor T cells, or as we know, CAR T cells, by regulating the PD-1/PDL-1 pathway and potentiating the antitumor functions in vitro and in vivo. And for those that need a reminder, and to get you in the mood for gilvetmab, the programmed cell death protein 1, or PD-1, and the programmed cell death ligand 1, PDL-1, axis plays a crucial role for cancer immune escape and management. PD-1 plays a vital role in inhibiting immune responses and promoting self-tolerance through modulating the activity of T cells, activating apoptosis of antigen-specific T cells, and inhibiting apoptosis of regulatory T cells. PDL-1 is a transmembrane protein that is considered to be a co-inhibitory factor of the immune response. It can combine with PD-1 to reduce the proliferation of PD-1 positive cells, inhibit their cytokine secretion, and induce apoptosis. So, after that refresher, to carry on. The study in the BMC reports that sulforaphane downregulated PD-1 expression in CAR T cells by inhibiting the PI3K-AKT pathway. At the same time, sulforaphane promoted PD-L1 degradation in tumour cells by activating the ubiquitination-mediated proteolysis pathway. Combining sulforaphane and CAR T cell therapy synergistically promoted better immune responses in vivo than monotherapy. In clinical evaluations, PD-1 expression was lower and pro-inflammatory cytokine levels were higher in patients with various cancers who received CAR T cells, doxulforaphane orally, than in the control group. These findings support a possible strategy for the combination of sulforaphane with CAR T cells concerning cancer immunotherapy. You know, it is good to see the support sulforaphane may be providing for the immunotherapy in general, especially when we are slowly seeing a growth in the role of immunotherapy in regular treatment protocols, and of course, I'm thinking of Elias. So now work supporting other applications. There have been numerous epidemiological studies in humans which have shown a significant inverse relationship between the risk of certain mutagenic processes and the consumption of fruits and vegetables. Cruciferous vegetable intake is positively correlated with bladder health in people. Epidemiologic studies in humans found a significant inverse relationship between intake of cruciferous vegetables and the risk of developing urothelial carcinoma. Specifically, they saw a 50% reduction when consuming greater than 5 servings per week and a 39% reduction with intake of 2 servings or more of broccoli versus less than 1 a week. A meta-analysis of clinical trials found cruciferous vegetable intake associated with decreased overall risk. preliminary in vitro studies in cell lines and or in vivo rodent models of cancers of urinary bladders and others have shown sulforaphane to be a potent inhibitor of carcinogenesis involving the NRF2, ARA, phase 2 enzyme stimulation, NF-kappa-B inhibition, and heat shock protein activities. Sulforaphane has also shown the capability for targeting bladder carcinoma in conjunction with patients who show resistance to mTOR inhibitors. Finally, sulforaphane has been shown to suppress bladder cancer progression by inhibiting the expression of FAT atypical cadherin 1, or FAT1, whose expression is shown to be increased in bladder cancer cells. And references for this body of work are listed on the monograph. So, thoughts from the panel on the presentation. And these are the direct quotes from the panel. I appreciate the reminder of the clinical benefits of avmaquin and backing it up with information about the proposed mechanism. I have had this in stock for more than 6 months and forget to prescribe it. And by the way, that is what OncoLS is all about. Thank you for the information from BMC Medicine article on PD-1 PD-L1 pathway. This is worth watching with a canine immune checkpoint inhibitor therapy on the horizon. This is really encouraging information. One of the biggest issues I run into when talking to hospitals where I locum about sulforaphane is that they put it at the level of nutraceutical and don't want to hear about it when I can't tell them the mechanism of action. So knowing about the PD-1, PD-L1 and other pathways is super helpful in those discussions. This is fantastic information, and I'm happy this company contributes to research and evaluates this drug. It's nice to see some mechanistic work, albeit in people, that may help support the use of sulforaphane. And finally, it is interesting to see this may help with other types of cancer, not just bladder tumours. It is nice to be able to understand the mechanism of action for this supplement. And now on to questions, which is concerns and clarifications. So what is the concentration of sulforaphane needed to cause all these effects? And how much of sulforaphane is available in avmaquin? And the answer, avmaquin does not contain sulforaphane, but rather the necessary ingredients, which is glucoraphanin and active myrosinase enzyme, to promote sulforaphane production in the body. And we'll discuss dosing in a little bit. Are there any studies in humans on sulforaphane and related compounds in a treatment setting rather than an epidemiological setting? And then does the company have any study designs in the works for the treatment in dogs? In human literature, sulforaphane has been studied in vitro and in vivo for a variety of conditions. Our human product, Avmacol, is currently being studied for the effects on doxorubicin-associated cardiac dysfunction in patients with breast cancer. And please do see clinicaltrials.gov for a list of current and completed trials with Avmacol. We will continue to evaluate other opportunities for avmaquin in veterinary patients. Additionally, we currently have an ongoing clinical trial evaluating avmaquin's role in canine urothelial carcinoma. And then, is there any data to help guide dosing recommendations for sulforaphane in dogs? We don't have any data available at doses other than the recommended administration on avmaquin packaging. The administration is based on our PK/PD data in healthy dogs receiving oral avmaquin. And this was most recently presented virtually at the VCS conference in 2020. And the poster is available upon request. Sulforaphane concentrations were seen in both blood and urine over the full 24-hour period. And current dosing is one tablet per day for all weights of dogs. And then any experience of what was discussed? None. I have it in stock and will start adding to protocols for TCCs to see how it is tolerated. I have concerns based on some mentioned observations, but encouraged by other comments. Interestingly, my colleague used avmaquin in a refractory sterile hemorrhagic cystitis case, and the patient improved almost immediately and had already seen antibiotics, anti-inflammatories, and pentosan. I haven't because I felt it was lacking mechanistic information and efficacy data. With this, I now have two refractory TCC cases I'm super interested in trying it in. Also, the comments on SHC are fascinating, and while I hope I never have another case of SHC, I would be very interested in using sulforaphane if I do. I have used it rarely in practice. I did have one dog with cystitis that did not have any benefit. I also have had dogs that had GI side effects with the drug, so that owners elected to stop the drug. These were dogs that were not receiving chemotherapy at the same time. And I've put in an editor's comment, I do occasionally hear of individual dogs that didn't appear to tolerate avmaquin exhibiting GI upsets, but for the majority of cases, avmaquin does seem to be well tolerated. And then thoughts for the future. How do you dose this? And is it better for dogs with cancer versus dogs on it as a dietary supplement? And see above for dosing, that's the one tablet per day for all weights, and there are 45 tablets in a bottle. It can be used both in the potential prevention of TCC and also as an additional option in the treatment of TCC. I often have TCC dogs on trametinib and lapatinib. Any information on how it is tolerated with mitoxantrone, carbo, or targeted therapy? And the answer, I'm sorry, we don't at the moment. Any information on its use in clinical trials with gilvetmap? Again, not at the moment, but that would be an exciting trial to run. It will be interesting to see how this drug can be incorporated with gilvetmap. Given our N of 1, maybe you could look into this drug for sterile hemorrhagic cystitis. And yes, that is a great idea and would love to. It would be interesting to see what impact on TCC prevalence this supplement has in predisposed breeds when administering long-term. And from Nutramax, there is a long-term study being considered for this, and we will keep you posted. Finally, I would like to see what happens when research is done in a clinical setting with a supplement with other cancers. Yes, me too. Hopefully Nutramax will be able to deliver this sort of data as the relationship with oncology grows. And thank you for your thoughts and feedback. And there we go. That is the end of part 3. Part 4 will be with you next week. Thanks for listening.